Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, hello, welcome in. Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Had a busy night of high school basketball on this Tuesday, and as you get into February, the month where teams are really starting to prepare and fine-tune and figure things out for postseason basketball, you get some Tuesday games, especially with weather cancellations. Tuesday often is a night where some of those games are moved to, and you just got to schedule some on Tuesdays to get it all in. You can't find the holes on every weekend with everything going on. So a decent slate of action last night. A lot of our local teams victorious last night as well on Tuesday night. We'll get to that today. And, of course, IU now one day away from its next game, a Thursday night home game with ranked Iowa coming to Bloomington. Indiana looking to get on a little streak of its own and see if it can get to the NCAA tournament after a very, very bad month of January. Is that bad month? Is that losing streak? Is some of that lack of effort and confidence and things that we've discussed each and every day on the show, is that behind the Hoosiers after a loss to Michigan State? I don't think anyone expects that the team will be perfect or win out or dominate people. I think everyone knows it's a team that's going to struggle from time to time. But it's one thing to struggle. It's another thing to have just a lack of effort and to not show up on certain nights or certain big moments of the game. So will that stuff be over with after a win and Devontae Green returning and maybe a little better feeling about this team? We'll have to see. But this week is a terrific chance to get some answers to that and maybe for the team to turn things around with two home games, one Thursday, and then, of course, the Sunday game against Ohio State. And I was looking at the calendar last night. I think a week from yesterday is the Purdue game, and that obviously has big implications. Not only does Indiana need to win that game for its conference standing and its NCAA hopes, but they flat got embarrassed in the way that they played. Romeo is maybe his worst game of his, not just college career, but career. Will they bounce back at home in that contest as well? It would be what a moment it would be if Indiana could get that victory over Purdue and bounce back from that. So definitely some interesting moments ahead, some big games ahead. And the thing about it is, you know, January, there were a lot of games, not a lot of space between the games, and it's equal to that in February because it's boom, 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 and before you know it, we're talking about the Big Ten tournament, and then, of course, that leads right into the NCAA tournament. So just a crazy setup and how quickly everything goes along, but it is going to be a huge month for college basketball and high school basketball, and we're going to find out a lot about our local teams, both college and high school, coming up here over the next few weeks. I think you'll get a good read. I really do. I think you'll get a good read on this Indiana team this week, next week, after that Purdue game. If they just lay maybe three eggs or come back out and have no effort and some of the problems that they had back in January right out of the gate, I think you can pack it up. I really do. But if they come out and even if they don't win Thursday night, but they come out and show some just solid play and play with strong effort, then I think you got to hold out hope that this team can find a way to get it done with Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford. There is some solid leadership there. There is some talent there. They just got to find a little bit of help to go with them. So going to be interesting to see, no question about it. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look. Segment one, we've got some Hoosier headlines, a quick note on Keon Brooks and his recruiting coming up in the headline segment presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll also take a look at some high school results last night. Jeffersonville, very fortunate to win on the road at a very, very tough place to play. I just said that on Monday after New Albany almost got clipped up at Columbus East on Saturday, but we'll talk about Jeffersonville's win last night. Floyd Central absolutely cruised to a victory last night. New Albany got it going in the second half. They were able to put some space between them and North Harrison in the final score, and Christian Academy with a win last night in high school basketball as well. We'll talk about all of those games in our headline segment coming up here in just a few moments, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Segment two is Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. He is scheduled to be with us in the second segment. We'll talk lots about Indiana. We're going to talk lots about Romeo. I talked with Jeff some last night just on the phone about various things, getting ready for today. And I want to talk even some about Romeo and his draft prospects. And is he trending upwards still? Is he trending downwards? Is he staying the same? Jeff talks to the NBA people. We'll find out what he thinks and what he knows coming up here in the next segment, so stay with us for that. We've got more coming up later in the show as well, so make sure you're with us right here until the 12 o'clock hour today on the Hoosier Report. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham. If you mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Headline number one today, Keon Brooks, originally from Fort Wayne, Indiana, playing his senior year of high school basketball at La Lemire in LaPorte, Indiana. Obviously the big piece, potential piece of the 2019 recruiting class that is still out there right now for Indiana. Trace Jackson Davis is the anchor to that class, much like Romeo was the anchor to the 2018 class, even though Romeo's commitment and signing didn't come until later in the spring, with Fennessy and many others from Indiana and around the area already into the fold. But an interview yesterday with Keon Brooks and Corey Evans of the Rivals.com website. He started off and he asked him about, and you can read this for yourself at basketballrecruiting.rivals.com, but he started off the interview asking about, you know, hey, you're one of the top uncommitted members of the class. Where are you at right now with your decision? And Keon Brooks, and I'm paraphrasing here, made it clear that he's still reviewing schools with his family, the pros and cons, listing those out for each school, praying on it some, but definitely getting farther along, I think, were the words he used to describe. Closer was the word specifically that he used to describe where he's at in his recruiting process. So it does sound like Keon Brooks is getting closer. A lot of people would have told you that they thought, I think, and even on this program they told us that he would commit maybe sometime in mid-January to mid-February. So I guess we still have another week or so to get to that mid-February point to see if some of the recruiting analysts are right or not. But a decision definitely could be forthcoming, I think, from Keon Brooks. How and when and the specifics of that still up in the air, but definitely the decision could be coming, I think, for a final big piece potentially for the Hoosiers in the 2019 class. Also, Corey Evans asked Keon about Indiana, and I'm going to read this back to you word for word. Keon said, quote, "Indiana is great. Coach Miller has done a great job. He came to see me immediately when he got the job, and ever since then, he has been doing a great job of making me a priority. He has gone out of his way to recruit my family as well, trying to make sure that my whole family feels comfortable at IU. He knows that they are struggling, but he also knows that I could come there and be a game changer and a big piece for him." And that's the end of the quote there from Keon Brooks. And I thought that was interesting because, obviously, if you're Archie Miller and you're recruiting a high-level player, you've got to address and you're talking to him on a daily basis and texting with players as when allowed. You're gonna talk about your wins, you know, and your successes, and you're gonna kind of brag on that to sell your program to him. But when you go through a month and don't win a game, you have to address that as well. So clearly, based on what Keon said to the reporter yesterday in this story, obviously, as you would think, he had to address it. And there's ways to spin everything, right? So the spin, I'm sure, was, hey, Keon, come to Indiana. Some of the problems with this, this, and this, we think you can help us right out of the gate. And that's clearly what he's been told, as you would think a good recruiter like Archie Miller would do. So that's what he had to say about Indiana. I did find this interesting as well. He was asked, what has Trace Jackson Davis been telling you? And Keon said, quote, "He is on me all the time. He just keeps telling me that we had great success playing together in the summer, and we are close friends, and we enjoy being around each other, and playing at IU, it would be great for us. That's the end of the quote there. So, interesting. He's got Archie Miller trying to sell him. He's got Trace Jackson Davis trying to sell him. Obviously, Armon Franklin is a piece in this as well. He knows all these kids, all these players very well. And I get a feeling that they obviously respect Trace Jackson Davis. He's a McDonald's All-American. He's a top-flight player, not just in the state of Indiana, but in the country as well. But I get a feeling from talking with Armon and Armon's high school coach that and others that know Armon Franklin, that he's kind of a piece in all this as well. People like playing with him. People have good things to say. Players that have played with him, coaches that have coached Armon Franklin, they have really good things to say about what he brings as well. So who knows what role he'll play as a freshman, although it sure seems like Armon Franklin has stepped his game up as well in his senior year, and his shooting specifically stands out when you think about this current IU team. But who knows where he'll fit in. But I think from the recruiting side of things, he's big, not only to help with Trace Jackson Davis, but still with Keon Brooks as well. So decision for Keon Brooks, still forthcoming. Nothing earth-shattering in that interview or breaking in that interview. But it's always interesting, I think, to hear what recruits have to say about a college team they are considering, especially during the season, this far into the season, when there have been successes and there have been failures as well. So that's the latest that I've seen on Keon Brooks. Also, a lot of high school games on Tuesday night. The one that really sparked my interest last night was Jeffersonville at Columbus East. It's a Hoosier Hills Conference game. The Red Devils are trying to stay in the running for a conference championship, and they eked one out at Jeffersonville. Some late free throws by Devin Franklin helped the Red Devils secure a 52-48 win in that contest. Trey Coleman, as you would expect, the junior who's getting some D1 looks, he led the team with 16 points. He was tied with 16 points from his own team by, get this, freshman Will Lovings Watts. And I thought that was the most interesting part of the box score. I didn't watch the game. I haven't talked to Coach Luce about the game. I did read a story about the game. But when you look at the box score, freshman Will Lovings Watts, 16 points to lead Jeffersonville with Trey Coleman at Columbus East on a Tuesday night. I thought that was big stuff from the freshman. I've mentioned his name a couple times. I think right after the New Albany game, maybe was the first time on the radio. But he is somebody that has caught my attention throughout his middle school, early high school career. And he's had some big moments as a freshman for the Jeffersonville team. He's going to be a player to watch not only the rest of this season when the Red Devils get in what should be a very competitive sectional at Seymour, but he's another freshman. Him and Caden Stanton in the area right now really stand out as good freshmen that have done some big things, that have earned at times starting spots for their team. I know Stanton has leading this season, but no question about it. Lovings Watts last night with 16 points, that's big stuff for Jeffersonville. And winning at Columbus East is hard. I can remember Floyd Central was set to at least share the Hoosier Hills Conference a few years ago. This is not last year because they won it, but maybe a year before that. And they go to Columbus East. I think it was a makeup game, a weeknight game, and they got clipped on the road there. I can think of games where New Albany has lost at Columbus East. And Columbus East hasn't been a power. They haven't won any sectionals. Of course, they're stuck in another sectional with the Bloomington schools and some other schools as well. But that is just a really tough place to play. Maybe it's the orange color of the gymnasium. I don't know. But it's a tough place to play. No question about that. Floyd Central last night, they were a big winner over Hoosier Hills Conference opponent Madison. They absolutely destroyed the Cubs, 64-22 the final score. Kobe Barnes, 22 points. He didn't have to score the 30 that he's been scoring or more, because it was a very balanced scoring attack by the Highlanders, who, by the way, they are now 15-2 and 5-1 in the Hoosier Hills Conference. Also last night, New Albany was a winner. They took on North Harrison. That's a new game on the schedule for the Bulldogs. It's a two-year contract, and New Albany got it going after trailing in the first period. They got it go. Actually, they trailed early in the second period, had 1 point at the end of the first quarter. North Harrison came out and scored a couple early points in the second quarter to take a 1 or 2 point lead briefly. But New Albany came back, put it together big in the second half. They go on to win 76-52 over North Harrison. New Albany now 13-6. Derek Stevenson has really got it going for New Albany. He had 18 points last night. He has finally, I think, reached the point where he's that consistent leader and scorer for this New Albany team. He's got a great shot. He can drive it. He passes it off as well. And it's really a team, though, that's balanced. That's the thing that I think makes New Albany dangerous, is you might plan on Stevenson leading the way for New Albany, but you look at some of their other scoring as well, whether it's Chris Johnson or Trey Horrigan or Julian Hunter has had some monster games this year. Even Chris Johnson last night coming off the bench with 14 points. Very, very balanced attack. And even Sprigler, Landon Sprigler's had some big games as well at times. So it's a balanced attack. You never know who's quite going to be the threat for you for that night against you. But leading the way consistently is Derek Stevenson. And I think I heard Coach Shannon say this last night. If you look back at the games New Albany has lost this year, I think namely about some of the big rivalry games. Also standing out to me is that Columbus North game up at Noblesville. Derek Stevenson has not, you know, the Columbus North game, he was out the second half with an ankle injury. But those other games, he's not been a big factor. He's not scored a lot of points. He's not taken a lot of shots. Those have been games that New Albany has lost. So he obviously has developed his way, as you would expect now, a three-year starter for the team into a really key player as the Bulldogs head down the stretch in this final month or so of, or less, really, of regular season basketball. Also last night, Christian Academy, they edged Henryville 38-33. Leading the way for Christian Academy was Josh Hahn. He had 13 points. Big for Christian Academy, though, was Bailey Conrad. He's quite a player, and he's back in action. He had a real scare there with an injury, but he's back for Christian Academy just in time to play a number of regular season games before the postseason gets here. And when you think about Christian Academy with TJ Proctor and Bailey Conrad healthy, and, of course, Josh Hahn last night was the leader, and other players as well, they could be really dangerous heading in to not only the 1A sectional, but beyond that as well. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as the best sports bar and the best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. If you haven't checked out Hoopsters yet, whether it's for lunch, whether it's for an IU game, whether it's just to get out and have a couple cold beverages, make sure you check it out. It's a great, friendly place to stop if you're a sports fan here in Southern Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. You're listening to a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Wednesday program. I think we're going to have Mike Pegram of Pegs.com in place of Jeff Rabjohns coming up here in just a few minutes. But before we do, I want to take a look at the IU basketball schedule. Obviously, we know that Iowa comes to town. Again, it's a ranked Iowa team. I think they're 20th in the AP poll. They come to town on Thursday. Ohio State, a Sunday afternoon game. But beyond that, let's just go the rest of the way. At Minnesota, again, Minnesota has won a couple games. You would not expect them to, but it should be even on the road if IU plays the way normal IU has at a lot of times this season outside of the month of January, a winnable game. Purdue at home. That is interesting. And I said Purdue was next Tuesday. I think I had it off a week. It would be 2 weeks from yesterday is the big Purdue rematch at Assembly Hall. Then Indiana goes to Iowa, so we'll know more about that matchup, I would think, after Indiana plays them for the first time tomorrow night. Then a home game against Wisconsin. That's a late game on a Tuesday night. A home game against Michigan State at Illinois. That's got to be a win to close the season. And home against Rutgers. That has to be a win to close the season. So if you look at it, you know, you'd like to say Indiana gets both of these this week. That might be thinking awful positive or high at this point. But if they could get both this week, if they could get a couple home wins, if they could close the season with Illinois and Rutgers wins, I think Jeff told me last night he feels like Indiana has to pick off six more games to for sure get an opportunity to be in the NCAA tournament. That was Jeff Rabjohns telling me that last night. So getting two this week, if that number that Jeff is floating around, and others have said that as well, if that's correct, getting two at home this week, and maybe even, why not, if you get two at home, go on a little streak, get one at Minnesota. And I know that's probably talking crazy, to be quite honest, about this Indiana team with how they've been playing. But you get that game at Minnesota, too, and you're halfway home. And then you've got some opportunity there to maybe lose when you shouldn't and win as you can the rest of the way. And, of course, think about this. March 13th, so we're almost, what, a month and 1 week away from the Big Ten tournament. It'll be played where I think it should be played, at least one of the two places that I think it should be played, in Chicago this year or this time. And, of course, then it gets back into a rotation between Chicago and Indianapolis as well coming up. But finally, back, and I say finally, last year I guess was just tough being up east like that. It made no sense. And, of course, the dates were all out of whack with it, and it just made for a very odd end to the Big Ten season and to the Big Ten tournament as well. We're going to have Mike Pegram in just a moment. Don't forget, we've got the IU-Iowa game on Thursday night. It's a late one. It's a 9 o'clock tip and an 8 o'clock pregame show here on the Big X Sports Radio. And, of course, those pregame shows, I've mentioned this a number of times, and Dugan and I here at the station were talking about that, but we think people really tune in now with Archie Miller making comments on starting lineup and any injuries, and with Devontae Green out, who's going to play, who's not going to play. Those pregame shows, even if you're at the game or even if you're watching at home on TV, have been a really good way to get kind of the latest information. It's the last thing or last person Archie Miller talks to before the game is Don Fisher. Have really become a good way to get some information heading into that as well. So we got that game on Thursday night, and then, of course, Sunday afternoon and Ohio State home game for the Hoosiers as well. I've said it many times, a big, big week for Indiana with two home games coming off a big positive win, a positive event at Michigan State. No reason to think, Hoosier fans, despite the lackluster performances that this team has had at times this season and really throughout the month of January, no reason to think that this week can't be a good week for the IU program and for its fan base, obviously, as well, given that it's a home game. Mike Pegram joins me now for a little talk about IU and, of course, also about IU. We're going to talk some about the upcoming game on Thursday night against Iowa. Mike, thanks for being with us today. We missed you yesterday.
Yeah, I'm back in the action today, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk IU hoop with you today.
Absolutely. I want to start with a non-current team situation. This is something I mentioned in the headline segment. There was a story, an interview, a Q&A, whatever you want to call it, out yesterday with Keon Brooks, kind of a general update about his recruiting. And nothing was really surprising or new in that update, although I did read on the air a couple of Keon's answers. One was to a question about IU and you know, where does that recruiting stand and how have they recruited you? The other was, what has Trace Jackson Davis done to recruit you and how often do you guys talk? It's clear that Keon Brooks is getting, I won't call it pressure, but he's getting recruited not just from Archie Miller and the IU coaching staff, but he's getting recruited by the other 2019 class members and maybe even some of the current teammates. We don't know that for sure, but he's getting recruited by a number of people when it comes to IU.
Yeah, that's been going on for a while. Armand Franklin, as well as Trace Jackson Davis, I think, have reached out as much as they can without being pushy. And it's a big deal, especially with Trace, because those two are got pretty close playing together in the USA team trials and then also with the Indy Heat team on the Nike circuit. So they communicate quite a bit, and that's what's always helped Indiana here. I think that they complement each other on the court, and they know that having played the spring and summer together.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is my guest. It was interesting in Keon's reply about IU that he mentioned that Coach Miller, and I'm paraphrasing here, had mentioned the struggles or talked about the struggles and how he could come in and be a game changer and probably, you know, it alluded to getting some playing time right out of the gate. I've always been, and I think you and I, or Jeff and I, or someone along the way from the site has talked about this, how do you recruit through a bad month? And I think that fans, and I think even last year when Indiana had some very bad moments, you're like, oh, there's no way Romeo's going to come play for Indiana after that performance, and you saw that, you know, especially if it was a game maybe that he was at for an unofficial or an official visit. But that obviously ultimately didn't matter. But I think we all are short-sighted in many ways. We all are very reactionary. It's just part of our society today and social media and some of those things. So we immediately think when Indiana's went on a terrible stretch or looks really bad or something negative happens with the program, well, there goes recruiting for guys that aren't at least signed for the 2019 class. And I'm not sure that that's definitely the case because, like always, recruiting is a sales job in many, many ways. If you're winning, you brag on your successes and say, you could be part of this, Keon or Trace or Romeo or whoever the recruit is you're trying to get. If you're losing and having some bad moments, you spin it that we don't have you, so we're losing. If we had you, we didn't lose that game last night. If I had someone that could play your position or do X, Y, Z that you do well, we'd be much better off today than what we are right now. So I guess win or lose, there's a way to spin everything. We'll never know all the conversations that happen between IU coaches and potential Hoosiers in the future, but I'm sure that they've been working hard to make sure that there's a message delivered to Keon through the good moments and the bad moments as well.
Yeah, losing does present playing time opportunity for the next guy up in the class coming in. And I think as long as you don't lose a team, Matt, I mean, if you lose a team, I think the parents, maybe the coaches involved, and the confidence may second guess that school. So a losing streak doesn't necessarily kill you in the recruiting. May not hurt you at all. But if you completely lose a team and they just you don't have a winning record or something like that, that might be the case. But might be a problem. But I don't think Indiana's gone there, and I don't think they went there last year. They in Romeo's situation.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. Little recruiting to begin our conversation today. Outside of Keon Brooks, and this is a kind of a wholesale question that I've presented to you and others before, but outside of Keon, who is uncommitted and, you know, we think could make a decision soon. No one knows that. There's been no date set or no timetable given by him in some of these interviews that he's done. But outside of Keon Brooks, is there anyone else that has emerged in the 2019 class?
Yeah, I think Indiana's done a little bit of just-in-case recruiting with, Harlan Beverly, a really nice guard out of the Detroit area. He was playing prep school down in the Orlando area. And also, I think they started looking at a 6'9" player, Mitchell last name, who's a top 100 type. I think it's you need to be prepared for anything after the season. I think Beverly is intriguing because you can play either guard spot, and they obviously could use a little bit of depth. But I do think that Indiana will be active, and if they can, in the grad transfer market. You don't know what's going to be available, and that usually doesn't happen until late spring. But as you can see across the country, those players make a big difference. And just look down the road with the Cunningham kid at point guard for Louisville. I mean, that's a bigger impact, and I mean that might be where they fill the holes. To add to what could be a very good three-man class with Keon, Trace, and Armon Franklin.
Going back to Keon for just a second, and I've got a couple recruiting / graduate transfer questions before we dive in to some details on Iowa Thursday night. Where do you stand? You've been around Keon now for a number of years. You know his father. You follow the high school stuff now, the La Lemire stuff, and you have been around the AAU circuit between you and Jeff pretty heavily. And again, you just know these people. You were around when his dad came through. I can remember that. So you're feeling on Keon and where he might go. Do you have any kind of gut on that at this point as it gets into the final whatever of his recruitment?
Well, we have a thing called Crystal Ball at 247 Sports, and I finally started making picks. I don't know if Jeff's ever made one, but I did put in one for Indiana before even got to Christmas time, and I haven't changed it. and I would change it if I thought it wasn't going to be Indiana. But I do think it's a pretty close recruitment. Otherwise, you would have made the decision by now. But I do think Indiana's in a pretty good position with him.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. You talked about graduate transfers, which was one of the topics I had for you today. Indiana has been active in that at times, but maybe not as active as other schools. You mentioned Louisville, who I think over the years, whether it be Coach Pitino or now Coach Mack, have benefited greatly from some graduate transfers that have come in to help the program. I don't know if it was you or Jeff or who told me this or who has said this on the show, but is Indiana not a little tougher school to recruit or go along the graduate transfer route because of reasons you have to have to be eligible to be a graduate transfer? Maybe Indiana doesn't match up well with that. Can you give us a little bit more information on that?
I can't give you specifics of why that is, but I do think that is accurate to say that it's a little bit harder for a grad transfer to get into Indiana versus another school. Now, it all depends on the academic situation of that player. It's really a loophole. Your graduate program that you're pursuing at your next school can't be available at the school that you're transferring from. If that's the case, then you don't have to sit out a year as a normal transfer. Some schools are a little bit more flexible on that than Indiana, and I it's really hard to get into the specifics. I know that Max Biefeld and Nick Zeisloff were business majors, and Indiana's got a big business school. So if a guy's looking to maybe major in business, they might be more flexible and have a program that is unique and not necessarily available to the school the guy's leaving from. I don't know exactly what the situation is with Evan Fitzner and how they were able to fit him in, but I do think that it's a case-by-case situation, so it's really hard to give you a blanket statement other than it is harder from what we're hearing from coaches and so forth that to get through that loophole with Indiana. So there are some players that maybe they can't go after you think that they would.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is our guest, talking some recruiting and even graduate transfer stuff today, and we're going to get into some Indiana-Iowa discussion in a moment. One of the things that I talked with Jeff Rabjohns about last night, just kind of catching up, was Romeo Langford and his draft prospects for the 18, or I guess the 19 draft coming up here in June. And I think there hasn't been an update for a while, but I think he's been fairly steady in some of the major draft boards out there as far as where he's been projected to go. And those draft boards are somewhat the opinion of the person doing the ranking or the board, but also a lot to do with information that's being given to them from NBA scouts and others that might be in front offices. They have a pretty good idea, I think, and especially as you get closer to the draft. I mean, you'll see some of these things be very, very accurate with what happens in the actual draft from New York City. But with the ups and downs of Romeo's freshman year, and I think you've got to rate him overall, a very successful freshman year. I know the Purdue game stands out as a really bad game. And as IU dipped in the month of January, obviously everyone on the team dipped a little bit. It just wasn't a good month as far as success goes, really at any level, although Romeo still at times had some big games. Where do you see his prospectus for this year's draft, and has it changed any since maybe Christmas or the great moments that IU had in the non-conference, some of their bigger wins and his bigger games? Has it went down? Has it went up? Is it about the same? Do you have any feel, or have you talked to anyone that gives any insight on that?
I haven't looked at the last week or so, but I think he moved it up a little bit with a good performance at Maryland in front of a lot of scouts. Because Bruno Fernando is a pretty attractive prospect now, and so a lot of guys were there at that game for the NBA. Now falling a little bit back because of concerns about his shooting. The other concern is about how hard he plays, but some of that is just because he's so smooth. But I think that 6 to 9 might be the rough range he's kind of stayed in, but still top 10, and it's the big thing from Romeo. I think this is pretty Mr. Obvious saying this, is he can prove to teams that he can develop a little bit more consistent outside shot. If he does that, and that might have to come in workouts after the season. If he does that, I really think he can push for top five status because he goes to the basket and finishes it within size so well. He's really unique in that regard, and he has great size for a two guard. He can handle the ball decent for a two guard. He just has to answer that question. Is he able to be a threat from the perimeter or not? I mean, I don't know if he's really improved his shot like we all thought he would sophomore year forward to where he is now. I think he's got the potential to become a good shooter. And if he shows that in workouts, he could go as early as top five.
Is his ability to finish in traffic in the lane with a hard foul, is that his best or most attractive thing to NBA scouts, you think?
Yeah. That's the thing that I think he's improved the most as a player. I think about him as a sophomore and on that big run to the state championship game. We saw him get hot from the outside quite a bit, but we didn't see him have playing against huge bodies. And he's just has this really ability to swoop with his long arms and get the ball up to the rim before a defender can react. And a lot of times, if he doesn't make it, it's because of contact from that defender and he gets the free throws. And yeah, I think lately he started to hit his free throws again. I think we all know he's a decent free throw shooter. He had the numbers in high school, and he's starting to come back to that mean of where he was in high school, and that's probably going to help his draft status. But the fact he can draw fouls and finish is a tremendous asset. It makes him kind of unique among the guards that I see. If he can answer the outside shot question, he can go top six, I think. And if not, he'll probably be 7 to 12.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest talking Romeo Langford in addition today and his draft prospects for this upcoming June. Hard to believe that we got a lot of basketball left. It'll go quick, the regular season, the conference tournament. Fingers crossed the NCAA tournament for this IU team and for Romeo as well. And when that's over, Mike, we're going to have the opportunity whenever Indiana is eliminated and the college basketball season comes to a close, we're going to have the opportunity to follow Romeo and his process through pre-draft stuff, whether it be, he's going to get invited to all the big stuff. He's going to have lots of workouts, I'm sure. So it's going to be a lot of fun to follow him. Obviously you want to enjoy his college year, his freshman year, and see what he can finish doing as a player. But going to be a unique opportunity for IU fans and, of course, fans from Southern Indiana, where we're broadcasting from, that followed him so closely and got to know him and followed his high school games, to watch this process unfold that we sure expect to unfold from an NBA draft, a potential lottery pick here in the offseason. Going to be neat to see.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have a guy up on the green room and all that in June. So, and all the process before that will be fun to follow.
All right, Iowa comes to IU on Thursday. It's a 9 o'clock game. Our pregame coverage with Don Fisher here on the Big X begins at 8 o'clock. Iowa ranked number 20. They've had a really solid season, and I'm curious your thoughts generally on this matchup. It'll be the first two times the teams have connected this season.
Yeah, Iowa has been a better team than I projected, I'll tell you that. Jeff's been a little bit more pro-Iowa than I have, and I'll give him credit for that. I've always had this bias against Iowa because they don't seem to guard people as well as other teams in the Big Ten. They do a little bit better in that regard, but they have some nice size. That's what I was least concerned about from an IU perspective. And Tyler Cook and Garza inside, guys who can also stretch you out and hit shots from the perimeter. And they're just getting a little bit more experience with Bohannon and then the other guys on the outside. And a really big win over, I believe, Michigan recently. Double-digit win at home just to show you how good they can be. They're an interesting team. I mean, it didn't start off well in the Big Ten, 0-2, but they've gotten some surprising victories and one of the few teams that kind of gave Michigan a butt-whipping is, really the only team this year. So it'll be interesting because there's two games against Iowa still left on the schedule here. So that how IU does against this team, how it matches up, will go a long way to determine whether Indiana makes the NCAA tournament.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, is joining me. Who guards Romeo Langford from Iowa on Thursday? Any thoughts?
You know, probably not Bohannon. Iowa has decent size at guard in the perimeter, and they'll probably just rotate, I would think. They don't have guys that they have to worry about with foul trouble. Like, you know, Tyler Cook would be a guy they have to keep on the floor, and Garza maybe. But they can probably afford to rotate some guys and play them really aggressively.
Coming off of the win at Michigan State, obviously, it's what the team needed. Any win would have been a great thing, but to beat Michigan State is a terrific thing, absolutely. Can this team sustain that type of energy and some of the good things to take away from that game, or do you think that there still will be the potential for some down moments? I don't know. It's all the problems we saw for a month long. I don't know that one game can fix that number of problems just because you win. Winning can help. A healthy team can help. We know that, and Indiana's working toward that as well. But a lot of problems throughout the month of January that led to all of the losses in that month, and so it's going to be interesting to see what Saturday and that win actually truly does for this team as they enter these two home games.
Yeah, I think they'll be better, Matt. I think Devontae Green turned a corner, maybe in a lot of ways. And then if they get the same bounce and energy and quickness on the floor, not face quick from Deron Davis, that just makes a big difference in this team. So I do think that they will play much better moving forward. They might not, they might lose a game at home to Michigan State or Purdue or something like that, and everybody will be up in arms, but. I do have a feeling that with the six of the nine games at home, and winnable games on the road now, they've played the tougher teams on the road already. With exception, I guess, of Iowa, which is actually a pretty good team now. They have an opportunity in almost every game to win, and they have a lot of confidence from what happened on Saturday to kind of maybe build something and get them back to playing like they were in December.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Let's look ahead real quick to Ohio State. That's the Sunday game for the Hoosiers. That's a game that, and I know Ohio State's had some moments in the Big Ten. They've also had some bad losses in the Big Ten Conference, maybe fairly comparable to Indiana this season as far as how the Big Ten part of their schedule has went. But as Indiana tries to get itself ready for eligible or to make the NCAA tournament, I think that's, no matter what happens with the Iowa game, you got to get Ohio State at home.
Yeah, Ohio State's been a hard team to figure. They look really good at times and not so good. I think that's because they don't have the depth that they had a year ago. So, if they have enough good players, if they're playing well that day, they can be really dangerous. But in the games at Bloomington, it's a must-win for Indiana, really is. You can't afford to lose games against teams that look to be bottom half of the conference teams. Now, Ohio State's more middle of the conference, but there's a team that you got to beat in Bloomington. Indiana's already had the one home loss, unexpected home loss to Nebraska, and the second one will be a real killer.
This is the question of the hour when it comes to IU basketball. No one obviously knows how the season's going to end. No one knows how the committee is going to bracket things out when March Madness gets here, and there's obviously conference tournaments still to be played, which can affect things in addition to the rest of the conference schedule the rest of the way. But your thoughts on Indiana getting tournament eligible, what do they need to do, in Mike Pegram's opinion, to get to the big dance the rest of the way?
I think they need to get to 10-10 in the Big Ten. They might have a shot at, if they're 9-11 because of the, Michigan State, Louisville, Marquette, wins in their resume. But, and plus they might add a couple of games to that resume. But they do probably, I think, to be safely in, they need to at least get to 500. Their six of their nine are at home. If they go 6-3 in these last nine, they will be 10-10. So to me, that's the baseline. And, they'll be at the mercy of what other teams are doing if they don't get there.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Great to have you with us today. Thanks for the chat. And normally you're with us on Tuesday. We'll get back with that next week, I hope. And as always, great insight. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you.
All right, Matt. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Stay with us. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with you for a final quick segment on this Wednesday show. Thanks to Mike Pegram for filling in for Jeff Rabjohns today. Some good stuff from Mike. Covered a lot of ground there. Recruiting, even talking about the roster for next season, which is interesting to think about. And obviously we'll do a lot of that once the season ends, as you think about recruiting in the offseason and the graduate transfers and just transfers in general in college basketball have become such a big deal. I mean, so many great numbers of transfers across the country. So we'll talk some about that, or we'll be thinking, I should say, some about that in the future as well. Good stuff today. And also, thanks to Jeff, who's normally with us on Wednesdays. He was unable to be with us on this Wednesday, but we'll be back very soon as well. Also, Friday night, big high school game. I don't know about as far as the matchup goes this year, competitive-wise, but always a rivalry game when the New Albany and Providence teams play. They'll do so in boys basketball on Friday. I know the student sections always get into that when it adds a lot to the game. Providence has been struggling a bit. New Albany trying to figure things out as they enter the back weeks of their season. So we'll see how things go, but it's on paper a big rivalry that we always cover. So we'll talk more about that game later this week as well. Don't forget, if you can't listen live, we often have our show replayed at 3 o'clock right here on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, and we're streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. If you need to go listen as a podcast, which a lot of people do, our numbers have been just terrific for podcasts, you can go to SoundCloud. It's a free app you can download, or you can point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report, or we're on Apple Podcast. All you got to do is search the Hoosier Report. You'll find our podcast. You can subscribe for free. And while you're there, please leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in a podcast, a radio show about IU basketball and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday show. With me on Thursday is Alex Bozich and more, so make sure you join us for that at 11 o'clock tomorrow, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.